Greetings and welcome to the Casual Comics Cast, the reboot, featuring your host Joe and his new sidekicks, Michael and Pat. This time, we're talking Captain Marvel, the movie and the comic. There's also Hulk news and some general silliness regarding the Netflix series, The Umbrella Academy.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
How you doing today?
Hello.
So, welcome back. Casual Comics Cast reboot again. Yes. I think so. Now we've recorded multiple podcasts, but we've learned multiple lessons along the way that are going to inform us as we launch forward in our pivot strategy for the podcast in the future.
The pivot strategy mostly has to do with not drinking too much alcohol.
That is number one.
Recording the podcast.
Yeah, and now we're not at a brewery.
We actually have legitimate microphones that work.
Yes.
Hopefully.
And very legitimate microphone holders.
Yes. Which we'll post online.
Okay.
We'll show a picture of how this all works. But so for people who haven't listened before, this is the Casual Comics Cast. I'm Joe. I'm the host. I have an extensive history of reading comic books, but only off and on, only sporadically, but I follow all the comic news online. So there's often fascinating news articles to me. We'll talk about some of them, and we have in the past. With me are Pat and Michael. Pat, you want to introduce yourself and talk a little bit about what you've learned recently that might have surprised you as we do these podcasts?
Yeah, so I bring nothing to the table other than an absence of knowledge, and I'm fascinated to learn what is inside your brain, Joe, about comics, but I'm just here for fun.
All right. And Pat, your favorite superhero, the Hulk, right?
That's right. Yeah.
We've established that. And your least favorite superhero?
You know who it is.
Who?
You have an axe to grind against Hawkeye.
Yeah. Why are you acting like you don't have one that is your least favorite? Every time Hawkeye comes up, you do a literal eye roll.
Yeah, he's boring. I mean, it's a normal guy, right? That's good with a bow.
Well, I mean, that's pretty special. I mean,
for a normal guy to be able to like hang with the Avengers and be in their club, I respect it, but
How many years on now are they still making Robin Hood movies? There's something about the mythology of an excellent archer that stands the test of time. And Michael, you want to talk?
Hi, I'm Michael. I bring the snacks to the table, but other than that, I don't bring anything either. I am a straight novice in terms of comic books.
Favorite superhero?
I don't have a favorite. I'm still searching for my unicorn, so I don't know which of them is the one I like the best. I like the ones that are a little more quirky, but still trying to figure out which one
at least favorite
speaks to me. I don't have a least favorite one either. Do I?
I don't know.
Has it come out in conversation that there's one that I don't like? You know who I kind of don't like, and I feel like this is going to get me bad marks, but I don't really like Captain America.
Why not? What do you have against Captain America?
I don't know. He just bothers me.
What's there to not like?
I don't know. He's like holier than thou. I don't know. He just has this.
What kind of superheroes do you like?
Like, I said I like the quirky ones.
You like quirky ones?
Yeah.
With quirky personalities or quirky powers or whatever?
All quirky things. Mostly just probably personality, though.
So because Captain America is sort of middle-of-the-road personality and, like, he's just a goody-good?
He's just so good. Ugh. Like, he's not a real human. No humans are that good. And I can see, I don't know, is he? Mm-hmm. And he is a human.
Yeah. He has proven, if you remember the Captain America movie, that steroids matter.
Like, yes.
He had the super soldier serum.
Yeah.
Chemically enhanced. That's his superpower.
I like Captain America. And
that's
his shield
you
is.
You like America, though.
You like his
shield? As an American.
Michael, you love America.
Yes.
I love America. I am a true patriot.
The shield is cool. The shield is cool.
So I'll ask that question regularly as we go through. Maybe you'll find some favorite superheroes. So this week, I think we agreed that we're going to talk about three topics. Captain Marvel, the movie, opens soon. And it seems like neither of you know very much about Captain Marvel at all. So we'll do a little recap of Captain Marvel. We'll watch the trailer. We'll talk about what people might need to know before they go see the Captain Marvel movie. There is, Pat, because Hulk is your favorite character. I'm always on the lookout for some Hulk news.
Nice.
There's some Hulk news.
Where do you find Hulk news?
Does it like pop up on your news feed?
I feel like we should. It does pop up on my news feed.
Okay. There's a place
called comicbook.com. There's comicbookresources.com. Maybe we just want to start at hulknews.com. We'll only post Hulk news.
Is there that much Hulk news?
There's a lot. I mean, we just covered Hulk news last time.
We can hear what he's been up to. I didn't know.
Well, we talked about Bruce Banner's no longer the strongest Hulk, right?
Yeah.
Jennifer Walters, She-Hulk. There's all kinds of Hulks.
Okay.
There's Red Hulk. There's Joe Fix-It. He's a Hulk. There's all kinds of Hulks.
Joe Fix-It.
Joe Fix It.
I don't think we've talked about Joe Fix It.
That was for a period of time. This is where we always tend to go off track. So I'm going to try and keep us on track. We'll talk about Joe Fix It when we talk about the Hulk news. How about that? You remind me.
That works.
We're going to start. I'm going to pause here for a moment. We'll watch the Captain Marvel trailer. We'll come back and talk about our thoughts about Captain Marvel.
It's hard to explain. I keep having these memories. I see flashes. I think I had a life here. But I can't tell if it's real.
I know a little bit about Captain Marvel, but I'd like to know from you guys, like, as novices or noobs, as they call it online, I believe, nowadays with the kids and their lingo. Well, I mean, what did you think when you watched the trailer?
So, Michael, have you seen that trailer before or any other trailers?
I've seen a couple of the trailers, and I felt like I couldn't remember anything about them.
Well, then you have something in common with Captain Marvel, right? Because she has no memory, is what I picked up from that trailer.
That is true.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Pat's score one to zero on observation skills.
Thanks, man.
So I know nothing about Captain Marvel other than just watching that trailer.
To be a captain, though, she has to be a captain of something. Does she have a team?
Oh, that's interesting.
Gets to call herself captain.
Just
captain
get all your questions out on the table, and then I'm going to go through the history of Captain Marvel. We'll uncover some of these. So does she have to be a captain of what? No memory?
What is her photon blast? Yeah. Because how could you... I'm curious about the science of that. Like, what's going on? Because it seems like a pretty cool weapon.
Yep.
Her eyes also glowed at one point, which I found interesting.
Does something shoot out her eyes?
I don't know.
And I also was wondering if she can breathe in outer space because she didn't have a mask on that covered her mouth. So she must be able to breathe in outer space.
Okay, so let me go back. I actually did some research, unlike normal, because Captain Marvel, I know a lot about, like, and from a tangent. I never read, like, all the Captain Marvel comic books. I read some of the Captain Marvel comic books that came out recently because Carol Danvers is Captain Marvel and she's interesting to me. Captain Marvel, though, is kind of like when we talked about Ant-Man, remember? A lot of different people have been Ant-Man. A lot of different people have been Captain Marvel, too. She's just the latest Captain Marvel. Mm-hmm. So the original Captain Marvel, created by, anyone want to guess who created the original Captain Marvel?
Things guy.
Stan Lee?
Yes.
Stan Lee.
That's always a safe guess.
Stan Lee. And Captain Marvel debuted in December of 1967 in the comic book Marvel Superheroes number 12, first appearance.
Is Captain Marvel always a woman?
No. Captain Marvel was not a woman, and it was spelled Marvell because that was his name, Marvel. He was a military officer in the Kree Imperial Militia. So if you saw the trailer of Captain Marvel, she looks like she's in some sort of space military group.
Yeah.
That's the Kree. They're from another planet. They're just these alien presence. Like, I don't know if you remember Guardians of the Galaxy, where they went to another planet. There was the Nova Corps. Kree had an empire, and this was their military. Marvel was originally part of that military, and
so this is odd because it's a Marvel comic, and now there's a character that's Marvel.
Is that a coincidence?
Oh, see, you want to go deep into comic books?
I'm just trying to.
This seems like surface level.
Yeah,
you're just scratching the surface, Padawans. So it's actually interesting because there's a movie coming out called Shazam. Have you seen the trailer for Shazam?
Yeah, with Shaq.
No. That's an old movie. With Zachary Levi, where he says Shazam and he transforms from a kid into a superhero. If you're not familiar.
I'm not.
A preview for this.
Okay.
Gosh, maybe I do have a memory problem.
It's a movie called Shazam coming out. Shazam was a DC Comics character whose name was Captain Marvel. So when Marvel introduced Captain Marvel, his name was Mar-Vell, and then they sued DC Comics saying, you can't have a character named Captain Marvel because we're Marvel Comics, and people get it confused. DC lost the lawsuit, had to change their character's name to Shazam, and then Marvel could call their character Captain Marvel.
Who do you think was the real winner here? Getting to keep the name Shazam?
Shaq was the real winner.
I do love Shaq.
Shaq is always the real winner. I just read something, I'm not even joking, they're saying Shaq still makes $22 million a year from endorsements.
Well, he's so also God bless that guy. For Carnival Cruise Lines. He's, I know, Captain Fun or something.
Between Carnival Cruise Lines and Gold Bond Medicated.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like that little
wiggle. He's hilarious, and he's great on TV.
So funny.
Yeah.
I think Shaq should get another shot as a superhero, because he played Steel in a movie called Steel, which is based off of Superman comics.
Okay.
So, but rewind to Captain Marvel. Captain Marvel was originally just a soldier in the Kree military. Later then, Gil Kane.
Oh, you said Kree, not Korean.
Kree. K-R-E-E. Uh-oh, we got a cat attack about to happen.
Yeah,
here.
Well, no, I think I need to take, can you put that jar on the ground, the big one?
We won't turn it off. We'll pause here and we'll edit this out later.
Sorry, I apologize. No, I meant the big one. The big one is what he's going on his face on.
Put it where?
Just on the ground. That's great. Perfect. Thank you, Gordon.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So to get back to Captain Marvel, Captain Marvel was this Kree, K-R-E, Kree warrior, and he eventually got tired of fighting for the Kree race. They were mean to him, and he was they were kind of good. They were the, out of all the space alien race warriors, they were the best of the worst. They were fighting against everybody. They were still kind of conquering planets and things like that. And so yeah. He was like, no, I like these people from Earth. And so they were like, dude, you're a traitor if you're with these Earth people. And he's like, well, forget you. I'm going there and I'm going to be a superhero there. So I'm going to protect Earth from outer space threats.
Nice. Okay.
So then later, revamped by two creators named Roy Thomas and Gil Kane. I actually think Gil Kane created Batman and then started working on Captain Marvel. He got exiled to the Negative Zone, which is a Fantastic Four thing. So the Fantastic Four. Negative Zone.
The Negative Zone. Okay.
Yes. That's where bad guys come from in the Fantastic Four universe. They're fighting people all the time from the Negative Zone. And so Captain Marvel, when I was growing up, Captain Marvel was always a side thing going on in Fantastic Four comics. Because for a long time, Captain Marvel just didn't even have his own comic. It's just a side thing. The Fantastic Four were always, though, in the middle of these wars between the Kree and the Skrulls. So you saw the Skrulls in this trailer.
Yep.
Skrulls are shape-shifting aliens. So they're one of these other alien races.
I that she punched that old lady in the face.
Yeah. How does she know? She had an inkling that that wasn't just an old lady.
It was just an inkling because she punched an old lady in the
Skrull?
Face.
Skrull, S-K-R-U-L-L.
Okay.
So the Skrull were also villains in the Fantastic Four for a long time. They're another alien race that's always at war, but they can change their shape. So they're always infiltrating people like spies. So what I'm taking from this movie is that the Skrulls are trying to infiltrate Earth by disguising themselves as Earth people.
To what end?
To take over the Earth.
Just to take over. Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's what they're always trying to do.
Yeah.
There was a character in the Fantastic Four comics called Super Skrull.
Mm. Okay.
Who had all of the Fantastic Four's powers.
Oh.
He was partially rock, like the Thing, and was as strong as the Thing.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
He could light himself on fire.
One of them was rock.
One of his legs, I think.
All right.
I just wanted to know.
No, but Super Skrull, I want to talk about it because if Super Skrull pops up and even somebody says anything that says Super and Skrull together in this movie, all the super nerds will be like, yeah, Super Skrull, it's going to come.
Because that's going to be a tough guy to beat.
Yeah, because he can stretch like Mr. Fantastic. He can shoot fire.
He kicks.
Yeah.
He can turn invisible and do all the things the Invisible Woman can. And he can then also shapeshift to disguise himself as anybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is a race of people.
Mm-hmm.
And they have their own superheroes.
I don't know the history of the Super Skrull, but he was a Skrull more powerful than the others.
Okay.
Because when he changed shape, he could not only change shape, but he could take people's powers when he took their shape.
Okay. Okay.
So
he could really be the winner here. I mean, he could get everybody's powers.
Yeah. This sounds like a tough guy to beat. Yeah. Because he could just say,
Fantastic Four.
Well, he could switch his powers up based on whoever he's fighting.
Yep. So he might wind up being, hopefully, part of this at some point. They bring the Fantastic Four universe together.
Can you describe a little bit about what these people look like in their normal form? The Skrull and the Kree?
I think the Kree look mostly like people. Just like humans. But the Skrull, I think you saw them in the trailer, they look kind of like lizard like scaly with big pointy ears. Do you remember seeing them in the trailer? Mm-hmm. So that's what the Skrull looked like in their original form. Oh my gosh, we got a cat going on. And you know why your cat's so interested? Is a cat plays a major role in the Captain Marvel series.
Let's talk about that.
Well, so we got to get past Mar-Vell. So Mar-Vell was Captain Marvel. Eventually, inoperable cancer was how he died.
Okay.
So it was kind of a downer, but it was like in the 70s, and they're like, let's have a story about cancer. And so Captain Marvel got cancer and died. So then
they had to retcon that, right? Like,
no, that was Mar-Vell. He's been dead forever.
They just changed to the new captain.
He's never come back.
He never came back. Okay.
Never came back. His tie-in, though, to the Hulk, everything's tied into the Hulk. Remember Rick Jones, Hulk's buddy? The guy who, like, Hulk was Bruce Banner trying to save, which is why Bruce Banner got irradiated, and Rick Jones hung out with him forever.
Okay.
He, while Captain Marvel, this is when I was reading it, while Captain Marvel was imprisoned in the negative zone, Rick Jones had Nega Bands that he wore on his wrist, and when he, like, clanged them together, his DNA fused with Captain Marvel, and that's how Captain Marvel got into our universe.
I don't know what that band thing is.
It's just like two bracelets.
Oh.
Special bracelets.
They were bigger. They like came from here to here. They were bigger than regular bracelets.
So they clanked them together and it took someone out of the negative zone.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And became Captain Marvel. So fast forward past Captain Mar-Vell, and the only reason I bring up one of the other Captain Marvels, Monica Rambeau, is because I think in an earlier trailer, you see another fighter pilot with Carol Danvers named Monica. It says Monica on the side of her jet. She was Captain Marvel in the comics also, so she'll make a small appearance in this movie, which will be interesting.
So she's not Captain... She is Captain Marvel? Or
she was in the comics. I don't think she will be in the... See, the movies and the comics don't always go together.
Okay.
She was the Captain Marvel who was in Secret Wars, though, if you remember us talking about Secret Wars.
Yeah.
Was Monica Rambeau. Then she quit being Captain Marvel, right? Because she joined... I'll run you through Monica Rambeau's history. She could transform herself into energy and... also create a personal force field.
This is interesting. So unlike Ant-Man, Ant-Man's powers were always the same regardless of who the Ant-Man was, because it was all based on the suit.
Right.
But Captain Marvel sounds like a title, and it's kind of like whatever you want to bring to that role.
Right. You're Captain Marvel.
Power isn't consistent.
Yeah, it's not the same. Yeah.
Most of the Captain Marvels, except for Monica Rambeau, were from outer space. They, like... Mar-Vell, and then there was Genis-Vell, and then there was Phyla-Vell, Novar. So all these different people, they're all Captain Marvel. I think most of them were Kree.
Do you get voted in to be Captain Marvel? Like, I'm just trying to understand. Do you just start calling yourself Captain Marvel and you're Captain Marvel?
That's
or
a good
do
question.
You actually, is there a committee?
Yeah.
I think there should be. There probably isn't, but I think there should be. And like I said, I know very little about these side Captain Marvels, because most of the Captain Marvel stuff happened in the background of Fantastic Four comics, and I was like, just stop with the Kree and the Skrull fighting and get back to the Fantastic Four, because there's always this intergalactic war between the Kree and the Skrull. But then you get to later, Carol Danvers is the one that's Captain Marvel in the movies. She's an Air Force fighter pilot. She becomes Captain Marvel, I think it says here, in 2012. It seems like it was earlier than that, because she used to be Ms. Marvel.
I thought she came from outer space.
So the first one, Mar-Vell, is a Kree, but is this Carol Danvers, is she a Kree or is she human?
She is a human.
That got powers, and she doesn't know how she got powers.
That's true.
Okay, so you don't have to be an alien to be Captain Marvel. You just have to have cool powers.
So, let's talk about Carol Danvers, because she's the one who's going to be important. She's a U.S. Air Force pilot. Okay, she's a U.S. Air Force pilot.
Okay.
And then she started investigating these crazy Kree and Skrull. They're both trying to infiltrate the Earth again. They're always fighting, and then they're always fighting with each other, and they're always trying to take
over. So when she wasn't piloting an airplane, she was
investigating. She's a NASA security officer.
Okay.
And the Kree and the Skrull were trying to infiltrate NASA. She's like... Okay. Checking into this because they were trying to disrupt the space program. And then during a battle, this is back when Mar-Vell was still Captain Marvel, during a battle between Mar-Vell and his rival Yon-Rogg.
I'm sorry, Yon-Rogg.
Yeah, Yon-Rogg.
Yon-Rogg.
Carol was exposed to the Psyche Magnetron.
You can't just grace over Yon-Rogg. He sounds important.
He sounds like a...
He sounds Scandinavian.
Yeah, like a cello player or something.
Does he have long black hair?
It's spelled Yon-Rogg. Yon-Rogg.
That's a really cool name.
Okay. Yeah, it is. Wait, I mean, is it cooler than Mar-Vell?
Yeah, it is.
Is it cooler than Genis-Vell?
Yeah.
Jan Rog sounds like he should be like a death metal bassist.
Yeah.
Another bass. Jan Rog.
So, yeah, but Jan Rog's just a regular human.
No, no. Jan Rog was Marvel's rival.
Oh, he's an alien then.
So, I'm going to take my best guess here. Is that
he was a Skrull.
The Kree and Skrull are trying to infiltrate the American space program. Carol Danvers, NASA security officer, also U.S. Air Force pilot, finds out what's going down. It's part of her. She's like, dude, Marvel's now trying to fight Jan Rog. Jan Rog was probably, based on his name, I'm going to guess, a Kree. Because they all seem to have, like, Marvel, Novar, like these dash names. So as they were fighting, Carol was exposed to the Psyche Magnetron.
Ooh.
Psyche Magnetron?
Yes.
Is that,
what does that mean?
Like a
force field?
Force field kind of thing?
For your psyche? Like a
mental thing, yeah.
Psyche Magnetron?
Yes.
It's like something that screws with your brain patterns, maybe.
So
that sounds like science.
Because Carol was like seeing this battle between them, and she was exposed to the Psyche Magnetron. She like was like, I wish I had powers like that. And the Psyche Magnetron rewrote her DNA.
Classic.
To splice her DNA. So now she's a human Kree hybrid.
Wait, what is the Psyche Magnetron though? Is it a thing?
Is it a machine?
It's a weapon.
Who had it?
I don't know.
But it was at the battle.
Yes.
There was a Psyche Magnetron.
Yes.
And she was near it.
Mm-hmm.
And it rewired her DNA.
Yes.
So did she say out loud, oh, that's cool, I would like that? And then it read her brain? Or how did that happen?
I don't know. I didn't read that issue.
Oh.
So it gave her,
I need to know more.
It gave her new DNA. And that new DNA also gave her powers.
Right. So she's now half human, half Kree. And she has powers like the Kree, superhuman strength. She can fly and survive the vacuum of space while flying.
Ooh.
She can absorb and rechannel energy, like through photon blasts. So for a while, she was going by Ms. Marvel and wore a really revealing tiny black bikini outfit. And
was that in the movie?
No.
No.
Actually, the lead of Marvel said, yeah, we thought about it, and we decided that probably wasn't going to work on screen.
I don't think, no.
And Brie Larson, who's the actress, said yes, she was glad they went with the new costume, because the new costume is much more appropriate for like somebody who's an intergalactic space warrior than a black bikini.
Yeah, it's probably, I would think, like, if you're going really fast through space.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, no, because there's no air.
Air slippage. I mean, I just think that there's danger.
There's a bikini. It was a bikini for a while.
You're accelerating really fast.
I'm going to say, this was the...
I can hardly dive into a pool in a bathing suit.
We don't need to talk.
Let me see if I can find her old costume. This is what it looked like right before she got her new costume.
Can you describe it? Oh, okay.
You should just...
Yeah, so it looks like she's got some, like, leather thigh highs.
It was a one piece, at least. And it has like a
red sash
that ties around her waist and like has a very long train on it. And she's wearing boots, like thigh high boots,
but no pants, and then elbow length gloves.
And she has gloves like that go up to her sort of above the elbow.
Right, so it's like she's wearing a one piece swimsuit.
Isn't that on her face?
Yeah, she used to wear a mask on her face.
She just has like a Robin mask though. It's just eyes.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Zorro mask.
So that wasn't going to work out for them in the movie, and they switched to...
Well, I feel better now that I see that it was a one piece at least. I thought, you said bikini, I think, and I was thinking, there's no stinking way a superhero can be just cruising around in a bikini.
Well, it would be, not only is it impractical, but like as the director of that movie, I mean, that's a choice, right? Like they probably don't want to fight that battle around like...
A lot of
superhero.
Well, and it could get you just massively bad PR, right? Yeah. Like for being.
Yeah, if you go back even like 15 years ago, most female superheroes wore just some version of underwear. But then so did most superhero guys. Like, right? So Superman's wearing just if his suit was flesh colored instead of blue and red, it would look like he's just wearing underwear.
Yeah, but he's still wearing a suit.
Yep.
If his suit was flesh colored, like
hey, bodysuit man,
he looked like he was naked.
Well, no, he wears little underwear on the outside of his suit.
Yeah, I know. You said if there were flesh
colored. No, if his skin-tight suit was flesh. Oh, boy. You guys are killing me. We'll have to go through superhero costumes at some point. But that's... Yeah, so like that. She changed her costume when she actually took over. She was just Ms. Marvel for a long time. And then just... Again, whatever cadre decides on these things, apparently they're like, you know what? You're promoted. You're no longer Ms. Marvel. You're Captain Marvel. And instead of fighting like here on Earth, just like super, like she used to just fight like super villains here on Earth. Now she's mostly in outer space fighting threats to the entire planet. Mm. That's Captain Marvel. So I would assume most of this movie is going to take place in space. It looks like she's training in outer space. Right from when she gets, I think you see that in the trailer. She kind of loses her memory. It looks like she's getting trained by some dude who's probably a Kree warrior who's training her. And then at some point, she comes to Earth because the Skrulls are invading Earth. She can protect the Earth from the Skrulls. That's going to be my assumption of the plot of this Captain Marvel movie.
But that's what it looked like because she was definitely on Earth when she was beating up that grandma.
Oh, yeah, she's on a public transportation system.
When I saw the movie title Captain Marvel, or the character Captain Marvel, I thought that they would be in charge of the Marvel Universe at some level, or like of the...
Yeah.
I think Stan Lee is Captain Marvel.
Yeah, you're right.
He's in charge of the Marvel Universe.
It's just kind of a weird... I still don't get the name Captain Marvel.
I don't really either.
Well, because...
But it's both in military.
It's a military.
You can be a captain. So like, I think that's
the captain thing is, like, Marvel's the brand, right? Like, well, no one says Marvel in the... Like,
the
no one refers to Marvel.
Guy, his name was Mar-Vell, and he was a captain in the Kree military. And then he came to Earth, and like, Captain Marvel. It's like he went to Ellis Island, and they were like, Marvel, got
it. Okay, so it's really, is it fair to say that it's a coincidence then, or unrelated, that Marvel is the name of a character and also the name of the universe?
Yes.
They're not connected.
They were not intended to be connected at the beginning.
That was a miss.
For a newbie, it seems like...
Very confusing.
This person would be like a, almost like the superhero of superheroes. That's where
well,
I...
Well...
Yeah. The leader, right?
So she's probably one of the toughest superheroes we've ever seen, right? She can fly in outer space. She can blast spaceships.
With photons.
And she's super tough. And she's former military, so tactically, probably pretty brilliant. So that's Captain Marvel in a nutshell. We'll see how she ties in, because if you think about where this movie's coming into, Avengers, this movie is set in the 90s, by the way.
I love the
so
90s.
You saw in the trailer a very
saw a record being played, which
right record. Yeah. And in the first trailer, there's a Blockbuster video store. And in fact, one of the promotions for the Captain Marvel movie is they're doing pop-up Blockbuster video stores around.
Really?
Yes. And now your cat's walking on my computer.
Sorry.
Gordy's going to wreck this recording one
so
way or another.
So pop-up Blockbuster video stores to promote Captain Marvel.
Right, because it takes place in the 90s. You saw a very young Nick Fury in the trailer before he lost his eye. So he was wearing no eye patch.
Oh, interesting. I didn't pick up on that.
I didn't pick up on that either.
Yeah.
So
that's the Samuel L. Jackson.
Yes.
Okay.
So he's Nick Fury. So this movie takes place. Oh boy.
So does Nick Fury, is he the one that anoints Captain? Is he the committee that makes this call? Because he seemed highly involved in Captain Marvel getting into the crew.
Well, we'll see. I don't know.
Because they put him in about a quarter of the scenes in the trailer.
Yeah,
and
because
Nick Fury doesn't have a ton of spots in other movies.
I feel like it's going to be because this is going to be an alien invasion. S.H.I.E.L.D. is just starting, and this is the first super-powered being that has come to light that's here to protect the Earth. And well, so Nick Fury is going to get involved.
It also sounded like she was sort of making a case for being included in something, right? She was defending her powers and saying, someone else can't do what I can do. So it seems like he has some authority over her, and she's trying to prove herself.
Ooh, yeah.
Well, he's part of S.H.I.E.L.D., and so it sounds like in this movie, S.H.I.E.L.D. is just getting started. And so he's investigating her, and he's like, why should I believe you're not one of these Skrull characters that is invading the planet? She's like, I can do this.
Yeah.
And she like blasts the thing. And she's like, Skrulls can't do that. He's like, how am I supposed to know that they can't do that? Maybe they can.
So she just ruined something and it was worthless.
Right. But it was good for a laugh.
Yeah.
So if you'll track back, this movie takes place in the 90s. Go back to Avengers Infinity War that just happened. Spoiler alert for anybody who's listening to this, I'm just going to assume you've seen Avengers Infinity War. Half of the entire universe gets destroyed by Thanos, right? Do you recall this? And then That's funny.
Oh, you looked at me and you said, do you recall this? And I shrugged. I don't know.
At the end of Avengers Infinity War, after half of the world gets destroyed, the end, Nick Fury is there and he sees half of everything getting destroyed. And he pulls out a pager from the 90s and punches in the number. And then he dies, and when it falls on the ground, it's Captain Marvel's logo that's on his pager. That's who he was trying to call. Mm. So obviously, some giant intergalactic threat, Thanos, is now endangering the entire galaxy, and he's calling her to come help try and fix it.
Got it.
So she will be a big part of the next Avengers movie.
So who can we expect to show up in this movie outside of Captain Marvel and Fury? Like, are there other characters that are well known that
should be appearing? Well, so let's see if we can infer this, because we know it's the 90s, right? And a lot of these characters, like, if you think about Iron Man now, mm-hmm. Iron Man seems to be, like, fairly recent, I feel like. Like, if we're going back to Iron Man 1, when he, like, blasted his way out of that cave and all that stuff,
yeah,
like, that seems like it was pretty current.
Assume in the 90s.
That was in 2000s.
Well, the movie came out in the 2000s, but was it?
Was the comic book?
Okay.
I think the movie was set in the 2000s, so I would assume if this movie's in the 90s, first off, Tony Stark's not Iron Man yet. If he pops up, he's probably like a teenager, maybe in his early 20s.
Tinkering still, yeah.
Thor could pop up. It would be unlikely, but Thor, because I mean, Thor's been around for thousands of years, coming to Earth and back. Captain America's probably still frozen in ice.
Good.
And Bruce... And Bruce Banner's probably not the Hulk yet. So I would say probably not a ton of crossover with other... Spider-Man's probably not even born yet, because he's only like 15 in the movie. Hank Pym might be around, because Hank Pym, it looked like he had been a superhero since the 60s or 70s. So Hank Pym might be around.
Okay.
So you might see
Ant-Man?
Yeah.
Yes, the original Ant-Man, the Michael Douglas Ant-Man.
Okay.
Not the Paul Rudd Ant-Man.
I don't like that you are pulling the actors' names in, because it's very helpful to me to delineate.
Who's and his wife, who is the Wasp, though, was probably already in the quantum realm. So what's her name? Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yes.
She was probably already trapped in the quantum zone. Okay. So those are the people who would be possible.
So we're probably not going to. I can't imagine they're going to be like, yeah, let's pull Ant-Man in. Maybe. I don't know. Seems weird.
It will be interesting, because if they go into the foundations of S.H.I.E.L.D., I could see that, like, Ant-Man, the original Hank Pym might be there. Hey, they're forming this, and he was a superhero in the 70s.
The tie-ins are, like, what people love about these movies. I bet they're going to try to do something. Even if someone's young, they might have someone, like, show up, just so you're like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Or it just sets context for, like, time.
Or you could have Tony Stark's dad, Howard Stark, who is in the original Iron Man movies, and I don't think he had died yet.
Yeah, I feel like this seems like it's kind of, it's quirky, and it has some of those funny things in it, like the Iron Man movies, but it seems like it's mostly kind of serious, right? It doesn't seem like it's as aloof as some of the other
movies. I think it's going to be sort of, they said it's not going to be as all out, like, comedy as Guardians of the Galaxy, but it should still be funny and quirky and interesting, especially when you get to her cat, Goose. I think the cat's name is Goose in the movie. Her cat's name, so we'll finish up with Goose. Goose was in one of the trailers. He's also on the poster. You can see his tiny little fluffy butt walking off of the
fluffy
poster.
Okay.
And I feel like we'll have to look.
Well, then it's only appropriate that Gordon Lightfoot keeps gracing us with his presence.
Right. So I'm gonna talk a little bit about her cat, and this might, I don't know if this will be a spoiler for the movie or not. It's all speculation. But in the comic book, in the one where Carol Danvers is in outer space, it's revealed that her cat isn't actually a cat. So, although she's had this cat for a long time, and I'm trying to remember the name of her cat.
Oh, it's a Kree.
It's not. It would make sense if it was a Skrull, but...
Sorry. So,
in the comic book, her cat's name is Chewie, and he's a Flurkin.
I'm sorry.
Flurkin.
Flurkin?
Another race?
Flurkin. Flurkin.
I feel like this is a... I think we're in spoiler.
Flurkins.
I think we're in a spoiler.
Look and act exactly like cats, Earth cats, but they're super intelligent and very powerful in that they can store an entire universe inside their mouth.
That can't be true. That can't be true.
I didn't make that up.
I like how you put up. You said they're like Earth cats, but they're super intelligent. Earth cats.
How do you store
super intelligent?
How do you store a universe in your mouth? What does that even mean?
it means that, like, they could swallow a universe and keep it in their mouth and then cough it up like a fur ball later, I guess.
And then the whole universe reappears.
Like, how do you...
The universe is, like, functioning
isn't
in their mouth.
Hot? Yeah, like, yeah. Stars are hot. Just eat a star.
Maybe they create a pocket dimension inside their mouth.
What?
Oh yeah, I didn't think of that.
we're all bought into the psyche. We're all bought into the psyche magnetron. Fused DNA, but a flurkin with a universe in their mouth. That's just too much.
That is hot.
All right. So, any last thoughts on Captain Marvel before we wrap up this portion of the podcast?
No, I think we should go see it. I think some of our confusion over, like, her being a captain, I think, is going to become really clear when we watch it, that it's just a military.
I'll say that watching the trailer, I wasn't super as excited as I get for most Marvel trailers. It didn't seem like that interesting of a story. So I'm going to go see it, but I'm not, like, as drawn to it as other Marvel movies that have come out.
Any guesses on opening weekend box office?
I don't know what any of them are.
I think it's going to be lower. I mean, it's going to be way lower than the big Marvel blockbusters. I think it's going to be on the lower end.
Well, I just don't think people are bought into this character as much, right? Like, she just doesn't have any street cred with me yet.
Yeah.
Bigger box office first weekend between this and Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Which was the sequel to Ant-Man. So people should have known about that character already.
I'm going to say Ant-Man.
I'm going to say Captain Marvel. I think Captain Marvel has a bigger opening box office than Ant-Man and the Wasp did.
Okay. We'll see.
All right. Whoever's right gets a beer.
Whoever's wrong also gets a beer.
All right. We're going to take a break now, and then we'll come back. We'll talk about the Hulk and the Umbrella Academy. All right, so in the second part of the show, we committed to ourselves to trying to stay tight on timing this time. We're going to talk about a couple things. Come on, Pat. You know
we do. We wander. We go down.
You don't have to.
Do you think we didn't do a good job of staying on topic at the first segment?
I think we did an excellent job of staying on topic.
But you also said you didn't think we were as funny.
I think people find us going off topic to be more humorous. So maybe we'll go a little more off topic this time.
Okay. Sounds like you're speaking out of both sides of your mouth.
I'm not the one who came in and said I'd like to be more productive this time.
Carol's just big of a mess.
I like how we're, like, planning the podcast while we're recording the podcast. We're directing it while we're recording it. Okay.
All right. So we got two pieces of Hulk news to get to that I have heard about recently. Number one is Marvel has now announced a Wolverine and Hulk team up.
Ooh, that's awesome.
Called the Hulk-Varines.
Oh, sorry. That sounds like
it's a bad,
like,
name.
A synchronized swimming crew or something. Hulk-Varines. I don't know. That sounds so odd.
Hulk-Varines. It could be worse. It could be Hulk-Eye. Hawkeye, Hulk team.
Hulk with a bow and arrow. Such a waste of strength.
Fumbling with the arrow.
The thing is, like, Hulk and Wolverine, they're two of my favorite characters because I just like raw power, and they're kind of like both fit into that.
It's like raw power.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I love about Marvel movies is just seeing, like, raw power on display.
Well, this might be the comic series for you, Pat, because do you remember Weapon X?
No.
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 Is that the thing you spray on your windshield so that rain doesn't stick on?
Could be. Weapon X is the Marvel secret. It's like a clandestine group that created Wolverine. Weapon X.
Oh, yes.
The Weapon X program from the X-Men movies.
Is that the adamantium?
Yes, they're the ones with the adamantium in him.
Okay.
There's also now a Weapon H program, which is trying to make super soldiers out of gamma radiation.
Oh.
Gamma radiation.
That's a big thing.
It's such a big thing.
Right. So the Hulk-Varines series.
I can't take that seriously. It's so ridiculous.
Has Hulk and Wolverine teaming up to battle Weapon H, which is a monster created by scientists experimenting with putting the powers of Wolverine and the Hulk into a single super soldier.
Whoa, that would be a tough... But here's the thing. Like, Hulk is way stronger than Wolverine. So, like, Hulk with claws, not that interesting. And
what's the point?
Do you want to see a picture of him?
Cool stuff.
Look at that.
Hulk could do anyways.
Dude, that's Weapon H.
Let me see.
He has spikes coming out of his shoulders?
Yeah.
It's like he has warts.
He has giant spikes coming out of his shoulders.
That doesn't seem like it would be helpful.
Well, it would be if somebody's trying to give him a bear hug.
is that one of Hulk's
the way I see Hulk about ready to attack him, Hulk's about ready to run right into those spikes in the picture. It's like, come on, Hulk.
Yeah, I mean, okay. The biggest problem with Hulk isn't that he gets hugged too often. There's nothing that like adding like the Wolverine claws to Hulk makes him better. I don't think it's just,
but you
it's
get,
visually cool.
Now you get his healing powers too.
The Hulk, you like, what does he
the
get
Hulk
hurt?
Has some healing powers.
Yeah, like you can't even shoot a bullet through the Hulk.
But also, Wolverine's mad all the time, and Hulk is powered by rage, and maybe now the double rage.
Oh, double rage. I think double that rage.
Yeah,
if
that
you were to
be cool.
If you were to juice up rage, more rage into the Hulk.
How do you get more rage than the Hulk, though?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think that's where I'm interested.
Or maybe he's got more gamma powers. Because remember when She-Hulk became more powerful than Bruce Banner is because she had like some juiced up gamma powers, like more gamma.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, this seems like an attempt to make something interesting. It feels like a dud in my book.
Well, I mean, this is for comic fans a big deal because in the comic books, Logan's been dead for a while. And so he's now back from the dead.
I didn't know Logan was dead.
Yes. So, in fact, Marvel editor-in-chief Axel Alonso said, quote, yes, Logan is back from the dead. So
when they decide they're going to kill off a comic book character, did the comic series, like the Wolverine's comic series, just takes a hiatus? It just stops for a while?
Well, the Wolverine has been all new Wolverine for a while, which is X-23. So did you see the movie Logan?
No.
It was awesome.
Old man. Oh, yeah, Logan.
It's actually like my favorite superhero movie.
So the little girl in that movie is from the comics. In the comics, she's X-23. And in the comics recently, she's been grown up and she's been Wolverine. Whoa. While Wolverine was dead.
Yep.
So there's stories that are still running on Wolverine, even though
Logan is not.
Yeah, it's a different one. So this is where it gets complicated. Wolverine's return has been told on multiple tracks. On one hand, his involvement with cosmic shenanigans was implied by his coming into possession of an Infinity Stone. So
Wolverine had an Infinity Stone?
The Space Stone.
Okay. How'd he get that?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
So he's got one, and that has helped him come back from the dead. And so Hulkverine's number one has just recently come out. I have not read it yet, but if you guys are interested, we can read Hulkverine's.
I think we should, just to know, but it is a very weird title.
Hulkverines. And then the other Hulk news that I found out is I had to investigate this because there is a fan theory circulating online in Avengers Infinity or Avengers Endgame, the next Avengers movie. One of the ways that they're going to defeat Thanos is World Breaker Hulk will finally make an appearance.
Sorry, World Breaker Hulk?
World Breaker Hulk.
Is that a type of Hulk?
It's a different Hulk?
That is... I forgot about World Breaker Hulk because it's not really a huge thing, but Hulk has taken many, like Bruce Banner Hulk even, has done some crazy, crazy things over the years. And one of them was he was World Breaker Hulk after the World War Hulk storyline. And he was strong enough that when the planet was about ready to blow apart, he went down into the core of the planet and held it together.
Oh, that's awesome. See, this is stuff I love. That's what I love about the Hulk.
Yeah.
It's like, so he went to the center of the planet and held the planet together.
So if you
that's
saw...
That's the kind of stuff that...
Hard.
If you saw...
It would be hard, but that's the stuff that I would do if I were a superhero.
You would just go to the core of the planet, grab one side, and grab the other side and be like...
You're so selfless. Yeah. Was that raw?
How'd he get down there?
I don't know. Did he tunnel really fast with his big strong arms?
Oh, I bet.
Well, I mean, the whole planet was blowing up, so maybe like a giant crack, and he just went
down like a slide.
Yeah, he just jumped down.
Yeah,
in
well,
there.
Gravity would probably suck you in pretty quick, and then he.
But then there'd be.
But at some point, yeah, if you're
what
in
are you
the center,
holding on to?
Like two big parts of the planet, like that.
He's like, duh. Two big parts of the planet.
You just grab on.
The two parts with the handles.
It would be burning, though.
Wait, you have a photo of this?
It would be burning.
Yeah, it's that right there where he's like holding on to two parts of the planet.
Okay, here's my issue with... It sounds like it's World Fixer Hulk, not World Breaker Hulk.
Well, they call him that because he was strong enough to break a whole world apart, but he can also hold one together.
Wow. Like, the yin and the yang.
He can break it apart, but he can... This sounds like a romantic comedy Hulk. Hulk has the power to break relationships apart, but he can also bring them together. That's a Hulk comic I want to read. But this the description is, it was Incredible Hulk number 102. Hulk was leading a rebellion against the tyrant Red King. And then he's like, if I can't have this planet, no one will. And he's like, boom, I'm going to blow this up. And Hulk goes down and it's just like grabs the whole planet and holds it together so it doesn't blow up. So that's pretty awesome.
But that's not news, right? That happened in the past.
But that's like a theory is that Hulk now is going to access this rage part of himself that was the World Breaker Hulk, and that'll help them beat Thanos in the next movie.
Oh, so this goes back to like the Hulk to be a better Hulk just needs more anger and rage.
But he has all of it.
Yeah, he has all the.
I'm confused.
Yeah.
No, it depends on like how mad he gets. So, I mean, remember the last Avengers Infinity War movie? He actually, like, seemed like he was kind of scared of Thanos. Like, Thanos beat him up, and then he's like, I'm not coming out. They're like, Hulk, get out of here. He's like, no, I'm not coming out. And he's like, being a little bee.
Oh, so this is like Hulk's. Yeah. He's coming back.
So
he's had enough. Thanos isn't gonna bully him.
So he's like
a Hulk in a corner.
But this sounds like more of a psychological thing, like he's finding himself.
Yes, I hope so, because he kind of was a punk in the last movie.
I think it's more of like a story on bullying, right? Like he finally is gonna stand up for himself and he's not gonna let Thanos.
He's not gonna take it anymore.
No, he's not gonna take it anymore.
It's a twisted sister.
It's going to be like an emo movie. Hulk's going to come out. He's going to have like eyeliner.
Yeah.
Well, the pictures of the new Hulk in the new movie, he's kind of dressed like a normal person. He's got like a costume on. Like,
well, he always has pants.
But he's got like a shirt on and stuff. So at the beginning of the show, we talked about Joe
Fitz. How weird.
Ripped up jean shorts though, aren't they?
Yeah.
No,
you don't wear this.
He's like, it looks like he's actually got a whole like outfit, like a shield outfit they put on it. They made it extra big.
Even clothes.
They did.
So wait, okay, but when he turns back into Bruce Banner, aren't these clothes like really baggy?
Yeah, like when he wore that one like fancy.
Hey, what was that?
Fancy necklace in the one where they're having the battles.
And it breaks.
He had like a Hulk was wearing a fancy. I don't know what's happening. I'm sorry.
This is the professionalism people have come to expect from our podcast.
Well, I think my computer actually is receiving my text messages.
That's cool.
That is.
So should we update the notifications on your computer?
I don't know.
I feel like we should just continue the podcast. Maybe text that person and say you're in a really important meeting.
So you can only kind of see him in the background, but here's how Hulk looks in the new Avengers movie.
Oh, so he has an outfit. That's cool.
Yeah. See?
So.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing is, like, when does he put on the outfit? Is it like, as Bruce Banner, or when he turns into Hulk, he gets dressed? Because I don't
think.
I mean, he turns into Hulk, he's like, oh, I gotta get dressed.
Well, did you see Thor Ragnarok?
Yeah.
Saw that.
That's
He's Hulk for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he just gets up and gets dressed.
Where he turns back into Bruce Banner and he's wearing, like, the big necklace that the Hulk was wearing.
Got it, yeah.
Now he's a human and he's got this, like, up this necklace on.
Yeah. So. Are they suggesting that he's been the Hulk for a while if he has his own outfit?
I think you'd have to be. Because otherwise, if he's constantly going back and forth between being the Hulk and Bruce Banner, he's just like shredding all of his clothes.
Or he's wearing really baggy stuff.
How
bad? As a human.
You couldn't keep those clothes on. The size differential is huge.
What if it's stretchy?
No,
like an Under Armour.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little stretchy because his pants don't come all the way off. I mean, he gets right. And he shreds. Like you'd think. I mean, I don't know if he. I don't know if as Hulk he still. I would assume he still doesn't have a 32-inch waist when he's Hulk.
I think the practical application of this would be that he would just be nude all the time. It's for our sakes that they make him wear shredded jean shorts because they just can't put him out there with no pants on.
There is a reference in. The Hulk movie that starred Ed Norton. Anybody saw that one? Mm-hmm. Where he says that he buys stretchy pants and he buys them extra big with and cinches them with a belt and they're stretchy so that when he gets bigger, he's not naked. So we were talking about Joe Fixit though, because the Hulk has had where like sometimes he's super smart and he's not as strong. Sometimes he's not smart at all and he's even stronger. Usually it's an inverse proportion, how smart he is to how strong he is. But sometimes he has alternate like like schizo split personalities. And Joe Fixit was one of his personalities, which is the personality that can do all the quote, not so nice things Bruce Banner was too unsure of to do himself. So he's pretty much just like a Las Vegas bouncer. And he's a smart guy, and he doesn't transform, and he's gray colored. And it was a really dumb series for a while that I never read, but he was Joe Fixit.
So he was just a strong human?
He was he was Hulk, but he was a Las Vegas Mafia member.
Oh, so he was a bad Hulk.
Yeah.
Like a Hulk that was bad.
Right.
When you talk about Bruce Banner, he's a scientist, and he's kind of like a
right
guy, I guess.
Nope, he was just basically a Las Vegas mafioso.
No, he kind of looks like the...
He looks
like that drummer from... what's that band?
Drummer
from that band.
He has a bowl cut.
Yeah, so what's that band that had that song?
<I don't know>. now you sound like my mom.
Wait. I feel like you can sing it. Sing it. You're talking about they played at the Ohio State football games. The Gorillas.
Gorillas, yeah.
Oh.
This worked.
There you go. You got there. See, I used to work.
I have no idea what their drummer looks like. But.
Well, so no one really knows what they also, look like, I think. At least,
right. They're cartoons.
They're cartoons, yeah. So that's why that cartoon looks like, it doesn't actually look like a
that
person.
That looks weird.
Yeah, got it. That looks like a gorilla's character.
You give me flashbacks because I used to work in a mall music store when I was in high school / early college, and people would come in and with that, they'd be like, I saw this band on TV last night. Do you have that record? And I'm like, what were you watching? I don't remember. It was a repeat. I'm like, what?
This is the whole
okay.
Why Spotify?
Music on TV. Okay, got it.
Got it. It had the something was the title.
The Beatles.
Okay. Well, there you go. So that was the Hulk news. Very exciting that World Breaker Hulk might make an appearance.
I'm more interested in that because it's, again,
you're actually more interested in that than Hulk Vereens.
I just feel like every time we talk about the Hulk, and I like She-Hulk, but I feel like when we talk about the Hulk, it's a little shallow for me. Like the power thing is just not.
Oh, get over yourself. We want like a deep character with a lot of conflict.
I need dynamic characters who have all the feels. And he's just mad and not mad.
Sometimes he's regretful.
Okay. Hulk.
I was looking up an article, and it was
when he comes back from being the Hulk is like how I feel when I'm hungover.
You're like, oh,
what have I done?
I dare myself.
Maybe we should talk about this whole article next time because I looked it up for this, which was the most impressive feats of strength by the Hulk, and like punching through time was only like number eight on the list.
What?
Wow,
that's the coolest one.
Yeah.
That he's done, in my opinion.
What about holding a whole planet together?
No, I think punching a hole through space and time is way cooler. Than
yeah, that's super hard.
Together.
What about punching Superman into outer space?
Yeah, I don't care about that.
That's pretty
Superman's
cool.
Pretty strong.
Yeah,
I thought he was the strongest.
Apparently, Hulk is strong enough to punch him into outer space. So.
Well, he's an alien, too, so outer space is like...
Yeah, but the point isn't that he is in outer space, that he got him there.
I feel like I make you so mad when we record this podcast. Like, I'm just looking at your face, and you're like, Michael, shut up.
Now let's talk about all the way Hawkeye is great. I'm impacting it, man.
I love Hawkeye. I love his bow and his arrow and his personality.
All right, whatever. What is our final segment?
Our final topic is Umbrella Academy. Ooh. The Umbrella Academy, as my mom calls it.
Okay.
And you guys want to talk about it. It's a new Netflix series.
Mm-hmm.
Came out a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. It's based on a comic book called The Umbrella Academy.
So here's how I heard.
By Gerard Way.
I heard about it. I've never heard of The Umbrella Academy until last month. I was at a haircut.
You were at a haircut?
You were at a haircut place?
I was at a haircut place. And the lady says, you should watch Umbrella Academy because one of the characters looks like you. Okay? But I didn't know.
Which one looks like
And you? I was like, Umbrella Academy? What is this? It sounds dumb.
Hispanic guy?
And so then I didn't watch it. And then I went back to get another haircut a month later. And she goes, what did you think? And I'm like, about what? And she's like, Umbrella Academy. And I was like, I didn't know I had to actually like watch, you know, like when you have conversations with your hairstylist, you don't expect like, them to remember. It's just like small talk, but now it's turned into like homework assignments and I don't want to change a hair, my hairdresser.
Maybe you
So I started watching it.
Is it him or her?
It's a her.
So is she going to watch the series you recommend for her?
Oh.
She should.
If she's going to do a homework assignment.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't think of that. But maybe I should say, if you want me to watch shows and talk about them, then you have to watch shows that I want to talk about.
I'm trying to figure out.
What am I going to say? Like, hey, you got to watch the Nats baseball this season so we could talk about.
Oh, pick a Netflix series. Pick the OA. Okay, so the Umbrella Academy was a comic book series created by Gerard Way, who is the lead singer of My Chemical Romance. So I don't know if you know the band.
My Chemical Romance. The guy started a...
Do you know the band, My Chemical Romance?
Yeah.
What do they sing?
I don't
know. It's a lot of, like, isn't it kind of emo, punk?
Rocky,
it's punk. Punk rock.
My Chemical Romance. Let me see.
What are some of their hits?
I don't know.
You
just tell me.
Okay.
All right. That's what I just remember, right? That it was very, like, it was very emo.
It's like a band that seems like that we've all heard of, but have never listened to.
No, and I know their songs. Didn't they sing Black Parade?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So can you sing a little bit?
When I was a young boy, my father took me into the city.
All right.
To see a marching band.
Solid.
Yeah.
People come for the comics. stay for the music. So he's the guy who wrote the comic book, The Umbrella Academy, and it came out in September of 2007. And there are multiple Umbrella Academy graphic novels because he wrote one series at a time. The first Netflix series is based off of the series The Umbrella Academy, The Apocalypse Suite, released by Dark Horse Comics. I actually read the comics, but have not watched the entire series yet. I've watched the first episode of the series, and it's interesting. It seems like it's got the same flair as the comics. It seems like it's moving a bit slower than the comics to me.
But you've seen one episode.
I've seen one episode, and I feel like it's because I think the Netflix series is like 10 episodes that are an hour each. And the comic book series, I believe, was like either six comics. And each of those comics is like 40 pages. So
they have to slow it down.
Really stretched it out. It's how I feel. I haven't watched it yet, though.
I thought that first episode was a little slow.
I watched the whole series already in like a week, probably.
Okay.
And I never read the comics, but I felt like there were parts of the series where I thought, holy moly, is this not over yet? So it definitely does have some slowness. It drags a little bit. Like, there's a couple parts where I definitely felt like they could have cut some of that just to keep the story flowing and interesting and moving.
So would you recommend that the listeners watch The Umbrella Academy?
I think it's really well done. The characters are very interesting. The storyline is very interesting. And it's very, the way that it was filmed, and you can tell me if this is representative of the comic, but it was very artistic. Like, it had a little bit of that Wes Anderson kind of, like, quirkiness to it. I really
like it. This is your thing, though. So, like, as a Hulk guy, and you're, like, a more nuanced character person.
Basic.
I am basic.
Yeah.
And, like, when I watched the first episode, I was like, I don't care about any of these characters. None of them, like...
You don't know them yet, because you're only in the first episode. You're going to get to know them as you continue through the series.
I just didn't care. I wasn't really... I'm going to watch another episode because I still want to see if there's another character that looks like me.
There isn't.
So the main gist is that they were trying to create a dysfunctional family of superheroes.
From watching the first episode, the gist is that there's a family of superheroes.
And
I don't think they're trying to make it dysfunctional.
Well, the creators of the series were like, what if there was this team of superheroes that grew up together and now they're like every other family that has all their own wacky, weird stuff and are forced to come back together at some point? Because there's the guy who was the drug addict and is now back. And then there's the guy that disappeared and never came back for a long time. And then the number one, who is obviously supposed to be the oldest kid, who's like the most powerful and most responsible.
I will say his character was the flattest of the characters.
That's because
the big guy?
Is always the bar.
Yeah, the big guy. he just didn't really have a lot going on.
So one thing I noticed was weird when I watched the first episode was he was always in like a big coat or something.
Well, you don't know what you don't know yet. You have to keep watching.
Spoilers, you got to find out why.
Okay, because I've always, it looks so weird. I'm like, why don't they just, why doesn't he wear like a muscle shirt or something?
There's a reason. You got to keep going. We don't want to spoil it for everybody, but there's a good reason.
Yeah, his skin looked kind of weird when they show his skin, like, in little parts. And I was just like, this is weird. Why? It almost seemed like, from, like, a not knowing anything about the show, or I was watching it thinking, like, oh, the show is too budget to, like, get a real muscly guy. So they're just going to stuff his coat full of puffiness and be like, he's muscly.
The thing that I think was really weird and interesting about the show was the role of the mother, the robot mother. Mm-hmm. That I think is gonna go somewhere because I feel like she's a machine, right? She's a robot.
Okay, but I didn't know that yet.
Oh crap.
Sorry. Spoilers.
Well, she's kind of, I mean, they show at the end of the first episode there's some type of like
she plug that in. Goes yeah. in. Yeah. Okay. Well, anyways, I feel like there's something else that is going to go there that goes deeper than her just being a robot.
I would have to robot. Look. I feel like that's a new character for the series, though. Series. I don't feel like I remember her from the comic. That might just be because I've read so many comics lately. Like, I've been powering through them. Mm-hmm. Plug for Comixology. I just signed up for Comixology, which is letting me read through, it's basically the Netflix of comic books.
Okay.
And it was recently purchased by Amazon.
Oh.
So it's like $7 a month. You can read unlimited comic books and so
online.
On. Yep. On a Kindle or on any tablet, except for a Windows tablet. Any Android or Apple tablet was supported.
Okay, very specific.
Well, because I was going to buy a Microsoft Surface and like, but I can't read comic books on it.
Oh, interesting. So that swayed you to get an Android?
That swayed me to then keep my Kindle, not okay. try and replace it with a tablet. So, but I've been reading a ton of really messed up, weird, independent comic books, and Umbrella Academy was one of them, so it might be... I might be forgetting if that character existed in the comic, but if it did, it wasn't impressive enough to stand out to me as being a main character.
So here's what I remember about Umbrella Academy. There's seven siblings, mm-hmm. right? And I'm kind of doing air quotes here because they're not actually related.
Not what
they do. The number one was like a big, strong guy, and he was in outer space for some reason they haven't explained. You know, I can't remember all the numbers.
I can't remember the numbers either, but except for other than...
There was one that was like a famous girl, right? She was like, she's a black girl. She has yeah. like kind of poofy hair, and her power, I don't really know.
Did you say poofy hair?
Her poofy? Power is
poofy. Okay.
Her power is persuasion. So she says to you, she says, "I heard a rumor that," and then whatever she says to you, you believe and you do. So
oh.
She tells you what to do.
So she can influence people.
So part of the storyline, I think, is that she became famous because she's able to persuade people that she has all this talent and is...
That's cool. That's a cool power. And then there's
it also was a downfall for her, if you kind of keep going. It's good and bad.
Okay, you like stuff like that. And then, so... then there's the drug addict. What is his power?
His power has to do with death. It has to do with
he speaks to dead
the
people.
The power of the like the other world.
He can speak to dead people.
Something like that.
Yeah,
but that also unfolds in a really cool way as okay. the series moves on.
Yeah,
I actually think his character is the best character on the show. He's the coolest character. He was interesting and he was funny and I don't know. I felt like also. I don't know if you guys do, but I think we all know a lot of people who have suffered through addictions and problems, and I don't know. I found his character to be really deep and pretty fascinating and just interesting to watch.
I found the acting on the show to be a little subpar.
Some of the characters, I think, didn't really have a lot. Again, like I said, number one was, like, super flat for me. Like, he just is.
He was also super flat in the comics, though. Like,
was he?
He's like, the hero, oldest kid, like, straight lace. That's you probably because you hate Captain America.
Yeah,
I can see you would hate him.
What about five? I thought five was cool. That kid? Is that a kid?
Is that the one that disappeared or can like move through time?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. It's one of that superpower in particular is kind of annoying to me for some reason because it's sort of like a I don't know. It's just like it does too much. Like the fact that you can move through time and then move through space. Like anytime a character moves in a room and just like appears in two different parts, it annoys me.
You're like trying to keep a linear track on what's happening.
So I don't like it.
You're not a time travel superhero fan.
I'm not a time travel superhero.
So we got into this conversation the other day and I think if there are subsequent seasons of this show, this is going to happen for me and I'm going to feel annoyed. Like movies like Groundhog Day, where there's repetition, right? Where you go back and you kind of have a do-over, drive me freaking insane. So I kind of feel like if there were to be any kind of subsequent seasons of this, that time travel element, it could be very annoying.
So not a big fan of the TV show Heroes? You ever watch that?
I didn't watch that show.
Okay. Season one, awesome. Season two and beyond, ruined by time travel.
Mm.
Yeah, time travel gets weird, man.
Now it's
boring when you can undo anything. Because nothing has consequences.
That's sort of where I'm at. Like when in the first episode of Umbrella Academy, they show number five. He's at a coffee shop and the police come in and they all have guns trained on him. And all he does is like just disappear and move around the room. And like it's very jokey and lighthearted, but they're like shooting into space trying to catch him and they can't. And it's to me, that's just not super interesting. Mm-hmm. It's like that's not like a good action scene.
Yeah, I don't know that I love his power. I thought that actor was cute. I thought he had like a good vibe and it was kind of interesting to see the dynamic of him being a young person with all the other siblings that had already aged. I don't know. I just liked him.
So anyway, I think it's good. I'll probably watch another episode. I'm not sold on the series, personally, because I think the acting's kind of janky.
So are you watching it because you're interested or because you're going to get your hair cut again soon?
It's absolutely because I'm getting my hair cut.
Okay. So Umbrella Academy, Michael, big thumbs up.
Moderate thumbs up.
Moderate.
One thumb
thumbs
up.
At least one and a half thumbs up.
One and a half.
Is that a thing?
I don't know. It's a thing now.
What does Siskel and Ebert do? Are Siskel and Ebert still doing a thing? Because I feel like
they're both dead.
That was a big. They're both dead.
Oh my god! I mean, it's not funny that they're dead, but yes, they're dead.
Gene Siskel. Siskel's been dead for over 20 years, I think. And Roger Ebert just recently died. And man, there's an awesome documentary about his life that you should watch instead of watching Umbrella Academy. Apparently,
did he have a really nice life?
He had a very interesting life. He was actually a hero of mine as a movie reviewer. He had a very fascinating life. And he had severe cancer. He lost his lower jaw. And he continued to do movie reviews because he couldn't speak anymore. He just wrote a lot of stuff. And so just a fascinating guy. And so we'll wrap this up by saying, if you're not interested in the Umbrella Academy, look up the Roger Ebert documentary because inspiring and fascinating. And now the huge downer. Everybody's like looking like, cancer. So it's Captain Marvel all over again.
Are they like an institution though? Is this Siskel and Ebert reviews like? Do they still give? Does somebody still give thumbs up?
They actually like trademark thumbs up, thumbs down. No one else can do it. What they trademark that,
and so that's gone forever now.
I think so. Yeah.
What was it that they did in Living Color? They had the two people that
two did snaps up
two snaps and it was something. What? There was something else.
Yeah, it was in Living Color.
It was so.
But I feel like we're running out of steam on comic book stuff.
We're not,
because Umbrella Academy. Sorry. Is like, that's okay. It was an interesting topic to explore. So you would recommend people watch the whole series? How long? So I've only watched one episode. Pat's only watched one episode. Like, at what point would we be able to decide? Okay, this is for me. It's not one episode, or do we need to get like two
you
or three?
Watch two or three, I think, to be sure. I thought if I really get into a show, I can binge watch it in a weekend. And this took me over a week to finish.
Did you like the first episode?
Yeah. Again, I thought it was really artsy. So
how long did it take you to get hooked into it? Or it seems like it was a chore all the way to the end.
It wasn't a chore, but I mean, I had to take breaks.
Okay.
But it's also, there's some really heavy, I mean, again, when you think of a dysfunctional family, like, that's a really heavy subject matter, right? It's not fun loving it all the way through. So you need to take breaks, because there were parts where I felt like it was kind of a little emotional even just thinking about it. So you had to pace yourself.
I feel like the Netflix algorithm has failed Netflix in that this should have been 6 episodes of an hour long or 10 episodes of a half hour each.
Yeah, it was a little too long.
That's because the comic was fairly fast paced. I read the entire comic book in an afternoon, all six issues. So I will read.
Sounds like you didn't have a lot to do that day.
It only took me like an hour and a half. So
interesting.
You're a speed reader.
If you guys are going to keep doing this podcast, we actually need to pick some comic books for you guys to read.
Well, yeah. You need
Hulk Marines, number one. Hulk Marines, number one. We'll read it before we come back next time.
Okay.
All right.
We have to borrow your Kindle.
No. I'll buy you each a comic book.
Oh, that's
nice. I'll hand it to you physically. This podcast has come to its natural end. I feel like it's wound down.
Yes.
Before the next episode, like we watched the Captain Marvel trailer, I'll find a comic book you can read in 15 minutes, and I'll bring a comic book. You guys can read it, and then we can talk about it. Deal?
Deal.
All right. So for this episode of Casual Comics Cast, this is Joe.
Pat.
Michael.
And with that nonsense behind us, it's time to say goodbye. Next podcast, we're going
back in time
to talk about everything you wanted to know about the comic book history of Marvel's tiniest hero, Ant-Man. You can find us on Twitter at @CasualComicsCast, as well as online at CasualComicsGuide.com. From Joe, Michael, Pat, and me, Jeff, your friendly neighborhood announcer, thank you. And we hope you'll join us again. Signing off.
Maybe we could sing some. Maybe we should sing some Bohemian Rhapsody on the way out.
Yeah.
What song do we all know?
I don't know. Not one that anyone would want to see here on our podcast.
They'd be like, unsubscribe.
First, they would have to subscribe in order to unsubscribe.
Post an episode for them to do either of those things.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.